I like to speak to you tonight about trusting God in the now. Trusting God now. And all I want to do is share with you some of the things that God has been speaking to me about. I certainly am not speaking from strength. I'm speaking from great weakness. I am not speaking to you as one who has arrived by any means. I wish I could tell you I had practiced this life of trusting God in the now for several years, but I can't. And I'm a very slow learner with whom God is being very patient. But I nonetheless speak with very great confidence and with utmost assurance that what I tell you is true for two reasons. One is on the basis of the Word of God, and the other is on my own limited experience of trusting God in this way. I also want to tell you that I never had an original thought, and that I've probably stolen every word I've gotten this message from somewhere. But if I gave credit to everybody, we wouldn't have time for the message. So if you want to know where it came from, you can ask me later, and I'll try and sort it all out. And through this message, I may be saying, if you do so-and-so and you do so-and-so, but I just want you to know I'm saying me at the same time. I'm certainly including myself. Colossians 2:6 in the Living Bible says, "And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problem. Live in vital union with him." And what I'd like to talk to you about tonight is trusting him for each day's problems. So I think it would be well if we started out with a definition of trust. What does it mean to trust in God for each day's problems? Well, it means to rely on him. It means to commit yourself to him. It's synonymous with the word believe or faith. Faith, I think, is rather a nebulous word. Let me just give you a few definitions of what faith is. Faith is believing what God says just because God says it. Faith is believing in and acting according to the will of God. Believing in and acting according to the will of God. Faith is believing what you cannot prove, just because you trust the person who tells you. Faith is the opposite of worry. Dr. Henrietta Mears says, take your choice. You can either worry or trust, but you can't do both. And faith or trust in God is absent whenever self-effort is present. Faith is absent whenever self-effort is present. All right, secondly, how does this faith then apply to our daily lives? Colossians 2:6 in the King James Version starts out this way. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, how did you receive him? By faith. If you have received Jesus Christ, you received him on that basis alone. Because you see, he comes no other way into our life. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, so walk ye in him. So how do you continue your Christian walk? The same way, by faith. And it's interesting that we're so clear on not working for our salvation. We know what the Word of God says on this. For instance, in Romans 3:22 in the Living Bible, it says, "Now God says he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty, if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins." Or in verse 28 it says, "So it is that we are saved by faith in Christ and not by the good things we do." Or look at Romans 4:3 through 5, which says, "For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and that is why God canceled his sins and declared him not guilty. But didn't he earn his right to heaven by all the good things that he did? No, for being saved is a gift." If a person could earn it by being good, then it wouldn't be free. But it is. It is given to those who do not work for it. For God declares sinners to be good in His sight if they have faith in Christ to save them from God's wrath. Well, it's interesting that when we're so clear on how we enter into God's family, how we become a Christian, isn't it interesting that it takes us so long and we are so slow to grasp that to continue this new walk of in our life in Christ is the same way, by faith. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Just as you trusted Christ to save you, now trust Him for each day's problem. Romans 1:17 in the Living New Testament says, this good news tells us that God makes us ready for heaven, makes us right in God's sight when we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us. Now listen to this next phrase. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. Our whole life in Christ is accomplished from start to finish by faith. It is not a do-it-yourself class. And you know, the children of Israel had this same problem many, many hundreds of years ago. You know, they were in Egypt. And in bad shape. They were in bondage and in slavery. And God delivered them. God brought them out of Egypt. And He brought them out of Egypt with one thing in mind, and that was to bring them into the land of abundance. Do you remember in Canaan land, He said, this is what I have for you. No longer will you be slaves. I've brought you out of bondage and slavery. And I'm going to bring you into the land of real abundance. Canaan's promised land. Now, Egypt in the Old Testament is a type of our old life and of Christ bringing us out of the old life into the abundant life, which He gives us as Christians. But what happened to the children of Israel? They just couldn't believe. They wouldn't believe that the same God who had brought them out would bring them in. They wouldn't believe that it took the same faith to get out of the land of Egypt as it took to get into the land of Canaan. And so what happened? They spent 40 years. 40 weary years wandering around in the wilderness. And they lived in this self-imposed poverty. Deuteronomy 6:23 says, He brought us out from thence in order that He might bring us in to the land. See, it was never God's intention that as Christians we have a wilderness experience of wandering in the wilderness. God brought us out of the Egypt of our slavery to sin in order to bring us in to the abundant life of trusting Him. And there's nothing quite so pathetic as a Christian who has been made complete in Christ and to whom all the resources of heaven have been made available, yet who through ignorance or defiance merely stretches out, ekes out a living, an existence, not really a living, but an existence in the wilderness, just living off the meager resources which he brings with him out of the Egypt of his unbelief. And the reason is simply because, girls, if that's where you are tonight, the reason simply is because you will not take what God has given. Well, what does it mean to walk by faith? Is what we're talking about, isn't it? A walk by faith, or trusting God for each day's problem. Well, you might say it really means to be filled with the Spirit. Well, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means to allow the Holy Spirit to occupy the whole of your personality with the adequacy of Christ. Did you get that? It's a beautiful thought, and it's such an important one. Being filled with the Spirit means allowing the Holy Spirit to occupy the whole of your personality with the adequacy of Christ. And of course, what this means is you become totally dependent on the Lord, on Christ's life within you. But in becoming totally dependent upon Him, then you become beautifully independent of all the things that have kept you captive. It means emancipation. It means being freed from all the pressures and bondage to the fear of other people's opinions. It means being freed from the tyranny of that old defeated enemy within us. And it means becoming more than conqueror through Him who loved us. Now, girls, this means relating everything, moment by moment, as it arises, to the adequacy of what Jesus Christ is in you. And then assuming that this adequacy will be operative. Are you with me? Is it coming through? Are you too hot? Okay. Just checking. It means that instead of begging or pleading with God in prayer, for instance, you would just expose by faith every situation to His adequacy. See, we don't have to beg and plead as if God was unwilling to give, but rather expose every situation to the adequacy of what Jesus Christ is within you, to His sufficiency. If this be true, then can there be any situation possibly arise, any circumstance for which He would not be adequate? Can there be any pressure or promise or problem or responsibility or temptation for which the Lord Jesus would not be adequate? Because you see, if He is truly God, then there could not be a single one. Now, maybe up to this time you've been in your life kind of like a person who bought a new car with a powerful engine under the hood and yet spent his life pushing it. You see, when you invited Jesus Christ into your life, it's like having a powerful new engine put inside. And Jesus' invitation to us is step in and switch on. You know, you can be part of the turned on generation with His adequacy, living His life through you. Then you can expose every hill of difficulty to His adequacy. And His divine energy never fails. Or it's like this glove. I asked Max to see an old glove around, and he really took me at my word. This is the grodiest old glove I've ever seen. But I can say to this glove, "Glove, pick up that book." And of course, the glove does nothing. And then I could think, well, maybe I need to instruct the glove. And so I said, "Now, glove, the way you do this is, you know," and then I go on and instruct it. But you know, no amount of teaching will make this glove able to pick up that book. But the very minute I put my hand into this glove, then you see, the glove can do everything that the hand can do. As long as the glove is simply willing to close the activity of the hand, then the glove can do everything that the hand can do. And I think you see the illustration that it's Christ who is the hand. It's we who are the gloves. And as long as we're willing simply to close the activity of the hand, then we can do everything that the hand can do. We know that Christ died for what we have done. But do you realize that He also rose again to live in you, to take the place of what you are? You see, not just that He died for your sins way back there, but He lives in you to take the place of what you are. And this is very exciting to me, because you see what this means? It means I have His strength for my weakness. I have His wisdom for my folly. I have His drive for my drift. I have His grace for my greed. I have His love for my lust. I have His peace for my problems. I have His joy for my sorrow. And I have His plenty for my poverty. Are you struggling to live the Christian life tonight as though Christ were not even there? Are you going it on your own? Are you begging and pleading for God to do in your life what He has already done, what He has already given to you, instead of simply receiving it? You know, we need never fear to step out in faith upon the glorious fact that Jesus Christ is my life and my victory. What you are is totally irrelevant if you're simply willing to recognize this principle doesn't matter what you are, if you'll recognize this principle, Philippians 2:13, it is God that works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do you believe that God is at work in your life tonight? Even when you can't tell it? You see, it's God's business to be at work in your life. God is not looking for your ability. In fact, sometimes our ability stands in God's way. God is looking just for your availability. Have you ever come to the place that you've realized that all you can produce at your very best is ashes? Have you ever come to the place where you've presented what you are, which is nothing, presented what you are, which is nothing, to be filled with what He is, which is everything? Have you come to that place? Have you come to the place where you can say to God, I know that all I can produce is ashes, and I know that all I am is nothing, but I present it to you to be filled with all that you are, which is everything? If you've done that, then you can step out into each new day conscious that the eternal I am is all you need for all of His will. I am all you need. Have you discovered that victory over the flesh is something you simply cannot win or attain? It's something you have to just receive. Have you fought and struggled to gain victory over the flesh? It's not a battle to be won, you see. It's something to be received by faith. And you know, Satan loves to always turn the truth into a lie. He's the master at turning things around. Has he ever said to you, try not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, and then you'll be able to walk in the Spirit? This keeps us preoccupied with ourselves, doesn't it? Instead of with Christ. And you know, Satan doesn't care whether you succeed in the flesh or whether you fail in the flesh, because you see, the result is still the same. Your heart and mind is still centered on the big number one. If you succeed, then you're filled with self-praise. If you fail, you're filled with self-pity, and it accomplishes His purposes just as well. At any rate, you're occupied with self. You know, the Scripture doesn't say, try not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, and then you can walk in the Spirit. You know what it says? Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, Satan makes us get the cart before the horse and involves us in self-effort. Walking by means of the Spirit is the way you accomplish the defeat of the flesh, you see. If you're trying not to fulfill the lust of the flesh in order to walk in the Spirit, you're fighting a battle that's already lost. But on the other hand, if you're walking in the Spirit in an attitude of total dependence on Him and exposing everything to Him, then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then it's a battle already won. Henrietta Mir says it's not hard to live the Christian life. It's impossible. And I'm sure we'd all say amen. You know, there's a song that says the arm of flesh will fail you, and it will. The arm of flesh will fail you. But I want to give you a very complicated sentence now, but it's very power-packed, and I want you to listen very carefully. All the inexhaustible supplies of God Himself are available to the one who is available to all the inexhaustible supplies of God. Now, would you like that again? Three or four times, huh? All the inexhaustible supplies of God are available to the person who is available to all the inexhaustible supplies of God. All that He has and all that He is available to us if we're available to all that He is and all that He has. Listen to Psalm 34:8 in the Living Bible. Oh, put God to the test and see how kind He is. See for yourself the way his mercy shower down on all who trust in him. Or Psalm 33:21, no wonder we are happy in the Lord, for we are trusting him. We trust his holy name. See, this is the key to living a happy, victorious Christian life. All right, what are some areas, thirdly, that you girls, I wanted to say ladies, but you know, there's not enough ladies in the audience, so you girls and us ladies need to trust God for daily. What are some of the areas that we need to trust him for daily? Well, how about daily problems? Those little things like studies and money, schedules, interruptions, irritations, pressures. Do you think that would qualify as something that we need to trust him for? Or maybe it's your personality. Have you accepted yourself the way you are? Do you believe that God has accepted you the way you are? We were in Dallas at the Crusade, and we were with some of the team members in a little meeting afterwards, and one of them was called to the phone. And there was a 16-year-old girl who had accepted the Lord that afternoon. This was now about 7 o'clock in the evening, I guess. And she was calling the motel for Mr. Graham. And they put the call through to Don Tabb, and Don came back in the room and told us that the 16-year-old girl had been on drugs and was sorely tempted to hit the drugs again. But she called for Mr. Graham. And Don talked to her, and as she talked to him, she said, well, I know I accepted him this afternoon, but I'm just not sure he could accept me. And of course, Don assured her that the Lord had accepted her just the way she was, and assured her that we would pray for her. Well, do you believe tonight that God, through Jesus Christ, has accepted you just the way you are? And therefore, if he's accepted you, can you accept yourself? Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 1:6 says, we are accepted. Accepted in the Beloved, which means in Jesus Christ. All right, can you trust him for your personality today? Or what about the area of your past and your present and your future? We could apply that to salvation. If you've accepted Christ, you've already trusted him with your past, and probably you're trusting him with the future. But someday you're going to go be with him. But are you trusting him for the now, the present? That's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? That's the nitty-gritty of life. Or perhaps there's a past sin that you're finding it difficult to believe God's accepted you now, that he's forgiven you. Can you trust him today with your past? Can you trust him with the future? I would think for single girls that maybe you're pushing the panic button about, am I ever going to get married? Especially if you're a senior, you think, well, if I don't find him here, I never will. And, you know, we need to quit the panic about whatever it is and just let God be God. Or perhaps it's a besetting sin that you find that you're finding it difficult to trust him for today. There's something that keeps nipping at your heels that you never seem to have gotten victory over. Can you believe God and trust him for that today? That's one of those everyday problems, isn't it? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your studies. Maybe it's in the matter of fighting against Satan. Maybe it's in the matter of the ministry that God has entrusted to you. Maybe it's in the matter of worrying. But gals, faith puts God between us and each one of those circumstances I named, or whatever else you want to put on your list. Faith puts God between us and all those circumstances. All right, lastly, the basis of faith. What basis do we have for trusting God? The basis of our faith has to be in the promises of God. Faith based on anything other than the promises of God is mere presumption. And were it not for the promises of God, faith would have no meaning. If God had ever failed to keep one promise, just one, then there would be no basis for trusting him today. But praise God, he has an unbroken record of faithfulness. Now the same can't be said of us, can it? But I'm so glad God is not us. 1 Kings 8:56 gives this record. Blessed be the Lord who has fulfilled his promise and given rest to his people Israel. Not one word failed of all the wonderful promises proclaimed by his servant Moses. Or listen to the angel's words in Luke 1:37. For every promise of God shall surely come true. When the angel was appearing to Mary to tell her that she would become the mother of Jesus, the last thing he said to her was, for every promise of God shall surely come true. Or listen to Abraham's testimony in Romans 4:18-21. So when God told Abraham that he would give him a son who would have many descendants and become a great nation, Abraham believed God. Now get this phrase. Abraham believed God even though such a promise just couldn't come to pass. And because his faith was strong, he didn't worry about the fact that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100. And that Sarah, his wife at 90, was also too old to have a baby. Yes, verily. But Abraham never doubted. He believed God. For his faith and trust grew ever stronger, and he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. For he was completely sure that God was well able to do anything he promised. And the Bible is filled full of the promises of God. And I've chosen just a few of them to share with you tonight in closing, just in order that your own heart might be challenged to believe God and trust him for each day's problems. Let's start with 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Now, how much of it has Jesus Christ left for us to do? It says, I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And how do we get it? Through the knowledge of him, Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:9-10. For in Christ there is all of God in human body. Now get this. So you have everything when you have Christ. So you have everything when you have Christ. For there is all of God in a human body in Christ. So you have everything when you have Christ, and you are filled with God through your union with Christ. Philippians 2:13, for God is, that's present tense now, God is at work within you, helping you want to obey him, and then helping you do what he wants. You see, he even helps our wanters. Philippians 4:19 in the Amplified, and my God will liberally supply, that is, fill to the full your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, how rich is Jesus Christ? He will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Psalm 37:4-5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That's trusting, isn't it? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You notice how wishy-washy the Lord is? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, don't you want to understand things? I want it all to be so that I can understand every step. But the Lord says, trust in him with all my heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 1 Peter 5:7 in the Amplified. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxiety, all your worry, all your concern, once and for all on him. For he cares about you affectionately, cares about you watchfully. Nope, let's try it again. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Have you worn this out yet in your Bible? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Have you ever argued that one with the Lord? Boy, I have. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. I've argued that point too. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I've fought that one too. That ye may be able to bear it. In the Living New Testament, one phrase of that verse says, for he has promised this, and he will do what he says. Or how about 1 John 1:9? Is that the other one you've worn out? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 50, verse 7. Because the Lord God helps me, I will not be dismayed. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint to do his will, and I know that I will triumph. As the King James says, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Or how about Romans 8:32? Since he did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us all, won't he surely give us everything else? He's already given us the best he has. Can you think of anything he would withhold having not withheld his son from us? Or how about Matthew 11:28-30 in the Amplified? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest, that is, relief, ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, it's useful and good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing. But it's comfortable and gracious and pleasant, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. Now that's really a mouthful, isn't it? One of the Lord's most gracious invitations, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And girls, if the yoke you are bearing and the burden you are carrying is not light and easy to be borne, then it's not the Lord's, you see. You've either taken on it yourself, or you've allowed someone else to put on you a yoke which is not his yoke and a burden which is not his. Because he says the burden is light and the yoke is pleasant and easy to be borne, not harsh or hard or pointed or sharp. Or how about this one? Take this to your heart tonight as a real encouragement. In the Living New Testament, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, even when we are too weak to have any faith left, he remains faithful to us and will help us. For he cannot disown us who are part of himself, and he will always carry out his promises to us. How do you like that one? That was the Living. 2 Timothy 2:13. Even when we are too weak to have any faith left, He remains faithful to us and will help us. For He cannot disown us who are part of Himself, and He will always carry out His promises to us. Well, what are you trusting Him for today? If He went out of business, how long would it be before you knew it? Are you claiming any of His promises? What are you believing Him for? Is your life today the product of self-effort or of restful availability to the Lord? Are you letting God be God in your life? A very famous Christian who just died a few years ago had this to say: if I had my life to live over again, I would just believe God. What do you say, girls? Shall we join them? Dear Lord, I pray that You would take the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together and make them acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And Father, I ask that You would burn this truth into our hearts tonight in such a way that we cannot forget it, and in such a way that we would not want to forget it. Spirit of God, we ask You to take over before we started. And we prayed that You would be free to express Yourself. And so we just have to thank You and believe tonight that You've done that which You wanted to do, and that You've accomplished in our hearts what You wanted to accomplish. And I ask now that Satan would not come and try and snatch from each heart that which You have sown there of the good word of God, but that it would take root and bear fruit. I ask this for my own life, and I ask it for each girl. In Jesus' name, amen.